Would appreciate your prayers that the Lord would just pay us a special visit this morning. We're going to just begin. We've had a series on resisting the devil, and we're just going to pick up where we left off in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And just as a little review, we'll start with verse 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Keep in mind that as we are living for the Lord, we have an adversary, the devil, and we're not going to be able to defeat the enemy in our own strength. When we begin to get a little bit of spiritual pride and begin to think that our knowledge and we've been around the block and I kind of have a handle on things, that's when the enemy is going to take advantage. We need to stay dependent on the power of God. So he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor." Again, this is a little bit of review, but if we put on most of the armor, we are leaving ourselves vulnerable in some area of our life to be defeated by the enemy. So we need to put on the whole armor. Don't leave anything off. "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He's smart, he's crafty, and I don't want to give him too much credit this morning, but we are not ignorant concerning his devices. And the enemy has a trap laid for each and every one of us. It's a comfort to us that we know that the Lord knows all about us. Isn't that a comfort? The Lord knows my weaknesses, He knows my problems, He knows the trials I face, and we take comfort in that. But let us also remember, the enemy knows, well, okay, let's back up. Jesus knows even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Isn't that what the scripture says? So He knows the most intimate details of life. But it is also a reality that the devil knows my name. He knows your name. Which means that he has a trap laid for each and every one of us. And about the time we get self-confident, we're going to get in trouble unless we watch and pray, as Jesus said, recognizing there's a trap for me. And it's like when you're walking through the forest and you know there's a trap, you're going to be watching where you step, aren't you? That means on a daily basis, be aware that the enemy has a trap that is unique to you. I'm reminded of when I was in California, we were in Fresno in a meeting. And I was in the car studying, and I know I've shared this here before, but it still moves me. When the Lord came and spoke to me so plainly, He said, "To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." And it was more than just a theology or a scripture verse. The Lord was telling me, you be careful because the devil has a trap laid. And you know, it wasn't too long after that that the Lord brought that back and said, you remember that? He was warning me. He was letting me know there's a trap. You be careful. All of us, to him that thinketh he standeth this morning, take heed. Be aware. Put on the whole armor of God. Because it's not a message of defeat this morning. We have victory through Christ. There is a place that we can live every day without sinning. Without committing the moral violations that are so prevalent in our world today, there is a place in Jesus Christ that we can live a holy life. But it's only through His grace. It's not by our own strength. And so He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then He repeated Himself. So if you ever think the preacher's just repeating himself, Paul did it too, all right? He said, and it was for emphasis. He wanted them to get the message. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So our message, the series that we've been preaching on, is resist the devil. To resist means to push back. Don't get complacent in your spiritual life, but we need to push back. The reason the world is in the condition that it is because people are failing to push back against the power of the enemy. Every day we need to resist and push back against the enemy. Well, the Lord has given us what we need to be equipped to do so. So we've preached the last few weeks, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and it brings us to the message this morning, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think this is one when people talk about the armor of God, and maybe you don't see, haven't heard it this way. It seems to me that this is one that is passed over more. We talk about truth. We talk about faith. We talk about salvation. We talk about the sword of the Spirit. But how often do we talk about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel? There is a lot of diversity of thought on different commentators and theologians on what that passage means. But I don't want us to get hung up and say, well, Paul meant exactly this. He was teaching a principle. And I want to cover three or four things that are applicable to this scripture this morning. And this is not just to tickle our ears. It's not just to fill time this morning. I would that out of the three or four things that we bring out on this scripture this morning, that you will get hold of one of them. All right? One of them that you can use in your life to practically go out and resist the devil. I'm going to push back against the enemy. So he said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul was talking about and giving reference here to a soldier that had on his armor. All right, so we've talking about different aspects of the armor, but the ancient soldier wore something on his feet and his ankles and many times on his shins and up his legs to protect him, his legs from getting wounds. And in ancient times, one of the types of footwear of the soldier was the shoe part of it had spikes or nails in it. So if you're there fighting, you don't want to slip and fall, right? Hence, what are they, soccer shoes? I've never really played. I've never owned a pair of soccer shoes. I will acknowledge that. Or cleats. There we go. Cleats. We've got the right definition now, or the right word. But cleats, you know, they have those spikes in the bottom. The purpose is that when you are moving, when you are running, when you are kicking, you won't fall, but you are grounded. Do you know that is one of the things the Lord wants us to do this morning is to have our feet grounded in truth in the gospel. Be fixed in the gospel and be equipped that way. And there's also a portion that, and I was thinking about my own life, we'll just bring it down practically. How many of you all only have one pair of shoes? Is that a fair question? Now, I dare say some of you sisters probably have more shoes than I do. Because I don't have a purse they have to match. But here's the thing. I have a pair of shoes that if I'm going to go out and play tennis, I have a pair of tennis shoes. And so I put on my tennis shoes. My boys laugh at them and tell them they look like old men's tennis shoes, but that's their privilege. But I don't wear my dress shoes when I go play tennis. Because there's a reason I want to be able to maneuver more easily. Whereas when I come to service, y'all might think I'd look a little funny with tennis shoes on and a suit. There's a different purpose for them. The soldier, there's going to be a different purpose if you're out playing soccer or if you're out walking down the road, right? Depending on what we're doing, we have to change our shoes sometimes. We need to be grounded in the gospel, but it is also true we need to have shoes on that when the Lord says go, we are ready to go. Well, he talked about preparation. Have your feet shod with the preparation. You know what it means? Preparation means to be ready, doesn't it? It means to be prepared. And I won't again ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you all, maybe even this morning, were ready to leave the house and someone in your household wasn't ready to go. And it was like, you need to get ready, get your shoes on. You know, telling the children, get your shoes on, it's time to go, we don't want to be late. Do you know that if we're going to be ready, we can't be lazy and keep our house shoes on, if you have such, or barefoot in the house, just I'm comfortable, I have my slippers on, or don't have any shoes on at all, and I'm just kind of relaxed. Do you know this morning, part of resisting the devil means we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, but too many Christians this morning are getting lazy, and they want to get comfortable in life, and they're not prepared in the gospel to be obedient and do what the Lord wants them to do. I want to encourage you spiritually, if this is one of them, be prepared. Be ready for when the Lord says, I have something for you to do, be ready to do it. Be ready to speak of your faith in Christ. Be ready to stand up and be the lone person when everyone around you is giving in to temptation and doing things they ought not. You be the one that says, my feet are shod. With the preparation of the gospel of peace, I'm ready and I'm equipped to do what the Lord wants. So here's the summation of that. Take off your spiritual house shoes. Does that make sense? You understand? Getting too complacent, just going on with life and not being ready to dig in the gospel, to dig in and be prepared. It's very interesting this morning, and there's a lot of symbolism in the Old Testament, and I won't even take the time to turn and read it all this morning. But do you realize there was some very specific instruction given to the children of Israel on how to eat the Passover feast? All right, so we know that the blood had to be applied on the doorpost. We know the symbolism of that, and we know they had to kill a lamb that was without blemish. But I want to tell you that there was some instruction on how to eat. And I'm just going to share it with you in Exodus in the 12th chapter. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want. But he said, this is how you need to eat. You need to have your loins girded. In other words, he was telling the men, they had their robes, all right? The women didn't do this. But when the men traveled, they were out plowing the field, they would take their robes and they would kind of wrap them up and tie them up. And they had breeches on underneath. And they would tie them up so they would be able to go and do and move quickly. So God told the children of Israel, when you eat the Passover feast, I want you to be ready to go. Your loins girded. He said, your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Did you all know that? When you eat the Passover, you need to be ready to go. Because when I say the word, when the word comes, I want you to be able to walk out of your house and escape Egypt. But rather when we eat, take off our shoes, get comfortable, we say, okay, I'm ready to go. I'm going to put my running shoes on, and I'm going to be ready to walk out the door. Do you know that's how the Lord wants us to be spiritually this morning? He wants us to be ready at any moment to do His will. And again, I believe that too many this morning are settling in with the lawful things of life. This is where Abraham said, he confessed that we're just what? Pilgrims and what? And strangers. In this world, there are lawful things. We need jobs. We need to earn money. We have family. We have houses. We have cars. There's nothing wrong with those things. We need education. We need training. We need to equip ourselves to face life. But the problem is that the enemy would like us to focus on those things more than the things of God. I know there were some probably that should have been here this morning that should have gotten their house shoes off. When the Lord has things for us to do, let's be faithful. When the Lord has a job for us, are we putting the things of this world before our service to God? Well, I need to go see about this, or I need to see. What does God want? It's not an issue of you doing something to please me or me doing something to fit into you all. This is about us personally with God this morning. That we need to take our house shoes off and not allow the lawful things of this world to interfere with the job that we have to do for God. So, That's one of the explanations that the Lord put on my heart to share this morning. Be prepared. Preparation. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another aspect, point two, I'd like to bring out is to walk in obedience to the gospel. I mentioned the cleats, soccer shoes, to get your feet grounded in. I want to encourage you this morning to get grounded in the gospel. It's going to take more than getting saved. That's a start. When we get saved and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, we are starting a journey with God. But we need to dig into the gospel and stand firm. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah told the children of Israel. Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "Stand in the way." You take that, you get a little picture in your mind of standing in the way. What kind of shoes do you have on? Are you standing? A little slipping and sliding going on? He said, "Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." We don't want to walk the way that God has commanded us. And I wonder this morning how many have the name of a Christian, but their feet are not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want my way. I want the name of Christ, but I want to do it my way. Do you know this morning Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that" what? "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." That's talking about the path that we're walking this morning. Are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel? In other words, I'm living the gospel. I'm walking with the gospel and I'm walking in the gospel, the old paths that Jesus taught us. Get grounded in it. What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe this morning? Well, my church says, who cares? Young people have heard me say that many times. Well, my preachers, who cares? Because there's another church down the road and there's two others across the street. What does that have to do with it? It comes back to what the Bible teaches, isn't it? And that's our purpose here, that we come back to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? So are we getting grounded for ourselves in the Word of God and saying, "Lord, I want to walk in this way and I want to be obedient"? I want to encourage and challenge us this morning to consider our obedience to the Lord. Are we being obedient? The name's not going to do it. Coming to service is not going to do it. It's all important, but it's not going to get us to heaven. Walk in the gospel. Be obedient to the Lord. Third point. We've got four, so we're two down. Fourth point. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of what? What kind of gospel is it? It's a gospel of peace. The Lord has really been talking to me about this week. This is a gospel of peace. I don't know what percent, I didn't look it up to see what percent of Americans profess Christianity, but I'll tell you what, when you listen to the news and you pick up the paper, I don't see a gospel of peace, do you? That's not what I see. We hear there, it doesn't matter, again, all of the issues that are in our society and in our world, and let's bring a little bit closer in people's homes. The divorce rate, the rate of separation, how many people are staying together and there is quarreling and strife in the home. This is a gospel of what? A gospel of peace. Are our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace this morning? When the angels appeared to the shepherds when Christ was born, do you remember what one of the messages they brought was? They said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth" what? Peace. That's what the Lord wants in our life this morning, is peace. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Weapons of our warfare, we read here, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, as Scripture says. in the last days, in the book of Micah, and you can turn in on your own time if you want, but in the fourth chapter of Micah, and the verses 1-3, it said that in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established at the top of the mountains. And it goes on and talks about that the people would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In the Old Testament, people fought in the name of God, didn't they? But you know, with the coming of Jesus Christ, He brought a different message. My people are not to fight carnally anymore. Put your swords up. This was not talking about a millennial. This was not talking about something that's going to happen in a future time. It was talking about when Christ came and established His kingdom that was set up when He died on Calvary, that through His blood, He brought peace to every soul that would accept it. But there are too many that still have the sword out fighting a carnal warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are fighting a spiritual battle. But people are not our enemy. It's the principles that are wrong. It's the sin that's wrong. It's the people themselves are to be loved. And we need to do what we can this morning to seek peace in every situation. Seek peace. So that's the challenge this morning, that each one of us, our feet would be shod with the preparation. No fighting in the name of Christ. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Does the enemy ever use people to fight you spiritually? We're talking about a spiritual battle. But does the enemy ever use people? Y'all have heard me share before when I was a young minister. There's a pastor's wife that gave me a card, and one of the things she told me in that card, and I wish I still had it. I carried it in my Bible for years. She said, the devil will use every saint of God that he can to discourage you. It's like something seems wrong with that. But do you know the people that can discourage you greatest are usually of your own household, aren't they? People that you love, people that ought to be showing love to you, people that ought to be... Folks, I want to challenge us. Our feet. We're talking about resisting the devil, okay? Let's not lose the context. We resist the devil by pursuing peace. If there's conflict, you can't fix difficult people. It doesn't work. Someone asked me and I tried. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But you can pursue peace at any cost. Well, I'm standing up for what's right. What did Jesus teach us? Remember what Jesus said against those that were mistreating them? Talking about the Roman soldiers, if they compel thee to go a mile, He said, go with them twain. Someone hits you on your right cheek, what do? Or left cheek? Turn to him the other. Turn the other cheek. If someone mistreats you, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If someone is not treating you right in your home, husbands and wives, there's going to be misunderstandings. There's going to be things that maybe you don't see eye to eye. Do you know the difference that when being in people's homes, if their feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? At any price, I want there to be peace. It doesn't mean that there's things you have to address difficulties. And that's not always pleasant. It's not always the funnest thing to do, to talk about problems. But the purpose and the motivation should always be that I want to do whatever I can to promote peace. Same thing applies in the congregation. There are going to be differences, but how will we respond? Promote peace. That does not mean submitting or yielding to compromise. It does not mean giving in to sinful things, but it means in our relationships, in our homes, with each other, at school and at work. Are you the person that's doing whatever you can to make for peace? Or are you the one, I'm going to stand up for the cause? What cause are we to stand up for except the cause of Christ? And the cause of Christ was one of peace and forgiveness and love. There's a passage of scripture that gets quoted frequently, and we always normally focus on the second part. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, follow, y'all remember, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, how many messages have you all heard preached on holiness? See, we preached on that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Follow holiness, or you won't see God. And we focus on that, living a pure life, a godly life, or you won't see God. But you know there's a first part of that? He said, follow peace with all men, or you won't see God. I got my English right. Do I have my English proper there? Follow peace with all men and. That's a conjunction, right? So you could leave off the second part, and the first part is just as applicable as the second part. Holiness, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men, or no man shall see the Lord. How are our feet shod this morning? If you find difficulties in your home, in the congregation, with people, on the job, and at school, and you see there's conflict, how many of us will be able to have our feet shod with the preparation of peace? I'm going to seek for peace. And you know what it means? I found in my own personal life, many times to seek for peace, you have to give up your way. You have to yield your way. And you say, well, I'm going to give something up. But you gain something far greater in your spirit, the peace of God, when you give up your way so that there would be peace. And it looks like the other person won. They won their point. They got what they were pushing for. But who's the real winner? When our feet have been shod with the preparation of peace, that's where our victory is. You want to know how to fight the devil this morning? We're talking about resisting, pushing back. How are we going to push back against a world that is in conflict? How are we going to push back against so many homes and relationships that are in conflict? Have our feet shod with the preparation of peace, forgiveness, love, being willing to bear injustice. And that's hard. Because you know why? I don't know. I know everybody has a different level of justice. Mine's pretty high. And it can start getting to me in the flesh even, not just in the spirit, when there's injustice. This isn't right. But what did Jesus say? Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself. We want grace to push back against the enemy. It's going to come by humbling ourselves. All right? Lastly, and I'm not going to say it's the most important, because they're all important, but our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This morning, are we ready to go out and work for God? Now, I told you I was going to tell you four things, and I hope you can at least take one of them home with you to help resist, push back against the devil. I want to tell you a story, and you can read it yourself in 2 Samuel 11. Familiar story. Do you remember David's sin with Bathsheba? Remember the story? Do you remember the background of that story, though? The scripture says that it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, it was the time that the kings went forth to battle, and David sent Joab. Where was David? It was the time that kings were to go out to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants. And then it said David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David rose from off his bed, and in leisure, he had his house shoes on, figuratively. And he walked up to the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman, and you know the rest of this. She was beautiful. You know the rest of the story? What should have David been doing? We're talking about resisting now. David should have been out at war. He should have been doing the business that he was supposed to be doing. Do you know this morning that if we do not stay busy with God's work, we're going to get in trouble. Because the enemy has more room to work in our lives when we're not busy. There's a common saying, it's not from the scripture. But it says, idle hands are what? The devil's workshop, right? Idle hands. An idle mind. When is temptation the greatest? Is it when you're out working hard cleaning the fence row, or when you're doing your calculus, or when you're doing your... When is temptation the greatest? When what? When you're idle. Because your mind is not occupied. We need to occupy ourselves with the work of God more than anything else. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be willing and ready to work for God. It seems like, again, we're so busy with other things that the work of God suffers. When there's a need for volunteers to do things, do you know it's really hard? On the way to service this morning, there was a job that someone was doing and it wasn't getting done. Why not? Because this morning we realized something, so Renee had to make a phone call this morning. Because there is something, a volunteer, and the work of God got pushed to the side. I want to challenge us this morning. You can resist the devil by staying busy with the work of God. Put it first in your life. And I think we'll conclude here in just a moment. But because there's much more that could be said about this, and maybe we'll leave some of it for another time in another forum. But I want to encourage us to realize there are a lot of hurting people around us all the time. And if we would stay busy ministering to the needs of those around us, you know the enemy's going to have a lot less room to work. Do you know when problems come in a congregation more often than not? When they're not busy doing the work of God. And then it's easy to start picking at one another, right? People, families that aren't busy working together and things, they can start picking at one another. But some of the greatest, most blessed times, I think, as a child and as a father and as a pastor and as a missionary, are times that when God's people come together and work for the Lord together. Because people aren't so busy being critical of one another. They're not picking on one another. Folks, the Lord has a job for each and every one of us to do. So do you remember those four things? This is how we resist the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it has to do with our feet. That we are prepared and we're ready. That we're walking in obedience daily. That we are promoting peace and seeking in relationship for what will bring peace. And fourth, that we are willing and able to go out and focus in giving ourselves to the work of God, ministering to others rather than being idle with the things of this life. I want to be able to resist the devil. But these are some very practical things that the scripture has taught us that we can push back against how the enemy's working in people's lives and in our world today. Amen.